Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 314, part 1, Children. Today is Friday, October 18th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Today's tape is entitled, Children. Today let's minister from Luke 7, 31 and 32. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation, and to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace, and calling to one another, and saying, we have piped unto you, played the flute, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, remember this is Jesus speaking, we have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. Now, I think there are very unusual seasons when we use unusual expressions of joy. We jump for joy. Did you ever get so happy you jump? The check comes in the mail, you start jumping around like a child. And we dance for joy. Did you ever just dance? You can't contain yourself. So-and-so is coming home, and you just dance around. And then it says we sing for joy. And then over here in the corner we have those that don't like it because we're having too much fun. Sourpusses. What do you got to dance about and what are you singing about? And why are you so joyful? And they're like children in the marketplace. And so Jesus here is pointing out in this parable, I believe his men is a very sharp and a very direct criticism, and it is directed against the lawyers and the Pharisees, the legalists. And they are around today, and they have showed themselves right on TV, as a matter of fact, in the last few, a half year or a year, they've showed themselves on TV how really vicious that they really can get. But anyway, this is not the only time Jesus criticizes these two classes, the Pharisees, and especially the Pharisees, but the legalists. And he said they were rotten in the Bible, inwardly. He also said, you rob the widows. And you pray long religious prayers. I remember my uncle, he would pray so long that everything on the table started to get mold on it. Long religious prayers. And then a lot of times those people that do that can really be mean and legal. And he also told them, you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You keep it so they can't even come in. You stand in the doorway. You won't enter in yourself fully with the free grace message, a free gift, Jesus Christ. But then again, you won't allow anybody else to either. They don't meet your criteria. They don't meet your specifications, your doctrines of men. And he called them a generation of vipers, snakes. Yeah, he said, you are hell-bound, the prostitute, the whore will make it to heaven before you do. Preacher? Pretty heavy word, wasn't it? See, he's saying, you have no feeling. We piped, and that didn't make you happy. We mourned, and you couldn't cry with us. And so here he utters a rebuke that is quite different. And he says, you are like children. Now, when I read that, I was a little confused. I wondered about this because usually Jesus has had the children as heroes. And then against the Pharisees, Jesus could find no denunciation too low, of course. But here he compares them to children, and I kind of wondered on that. Because he always favored the children. And about the children, he could say nothing that was not complimentary. And then even on a certain day when the disciples were having one of their favorite arguments as to which should be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he picks up a child and he places the child in the midst of them and he says, true greatness is becoming childlike. And yet, here he tells us that these Pharisees, these religious leaders standing in their all of their finery, their long gowns cut just right so they wouldn't, you know, rub them in the dust at all, and their fine little slippers, and their tall little hats, and their little beads, and their little jewels around their necks, and their well-kept hands, and all of this, it looks so perfect. It calls them children. Well, then if this is the case, what kind of children are they like? They can't be like the normal, joyful, wonderfully childlike children. See, that would have been their salvation. Because if this were so, Jesus would have commended them. No, they are rather like children that are peevish. There's different types of children, don't you know? They were like children that were mean. Now, some of your mothers, right? Your child goes to kindergarten, and the first thing you do is get on the back of the bus, ride the bumper up there, and peek in, see what mean kid's jumping on your kid. Or maybe you have one of them children that's peevish and mean and quarrelsome and fretful and crabby. Not that they don't all have them times. Or a whiny child. Put your shoes on. Tie your shoes. Well, maybe they were like that. Maybe they were always whining and complaining, and here they're grown men. maybe they were quarrelsome, and they were, weren't they? You Pharisees, said Jesus, are like spoiled, disagreeable children. You are spoiled rotten. You are selfish. You are childish. And you know, that was a hard criticism for sure. When someone has pointed out that in all of their finery, in all of their grandeur, in all of their greatness, they are very childish, they don't like it one bit. I'll tell you right now, in the stock market, there's a whole lot of people down there in that pit. In the marketplace. That are acting very childish. You see, because if childlikeness is one of the most beautiful characteristics, let's say, that a human being can have, then certainly childlikeness is one of the most ugly and sickening on the other hand. When someone else prospers, this type of child totally turns on them. They get mean. They get a gift or they get something. I remember I had a friend one time, years back, whenever I got a pair of shoes, first thing he'd do is come up and step on them. Couldn't stand that I had gotten something he hadn't got. And so it totally makes them mean, not only mean, but it makes them picky and gossipy, and that's like a lot of folks in the church. They can't stand it when somebody else is prospering. And the Lord says, I wish above all that your soul would prosper. Does money, is that what we're talking about in the prosperity teachings? Well, it doesn't do you a thing. It can make you mean and picky and ugly when it doesn't come your way. Know that your soul would prosper. Above all, that your soul, your inner being would prosper. Man, they might even want to destroy those people. Oh, I hate them. I could just kill her. You ever heard women talk like that? Or guys do too, but do you ever hear people, I just hate her. I wish she would die. I could just kill her. Well, then how could these decent, cultured, scholarly, these Pharisee gentlemen be childish? And so to answer this question, Jesus shows a group of boys and girls in the marketplace that have gathered there to play. Now, isn't play natural for a child? You don't have to tell them to go out and play. They're playing when they're inside the house. You're just telling them, take your play and go outside the house. Isn't that natural? When I was a child, it was a very natural thing for me to play. I never walked any place. Always ran. Go to the store. Well, I'd run to the store. Skip the store. Play in the mud. Huh? Do anything. Let's look. There's a fence. Jump on that. Huh? Ride my little wooden pony to the store. Put my cowboy hat on. My little guns. Everything was real to me. Pockets full of everything. Adventurous. Having fun. Joyful. It's natural for children to want to play. And so Jesus uses them. They don't need an excuse to play. I never needed an excuse to make believe. I always use this one. I think it's a good one. We lived in an apartment building. It was a one room with a bath. There was five of us. Fold the bed out. It was a Murphy bed. You fold the bed out and everybody went to bed because there was no more room. And so outside of our little cubby hole there, was a blower, and there was a great big opening there, and it had a screen so it wouldn't fall down the shaft, and it would blow things that was just set for my make-believe thing. And it had all the gas meters of everybody's thing on there with all the dials. And so I was Buck Rogers. All the kids that came had to listen to Buck. Don't buck, buck. And if they wouldn't get serious, they got off the ship. Get off. We're going to the moon. I didn't need an excuse to play. I didn't need an excuse to make believe so I was like that child I believe that Jesus was talking about. And there's a lot of them here on the north side. There's full of children that are making believe. They need no excuse to have fun. Did you ever sleep over to your friend's house? And what do? You just lay there and giggle all night. And we had a clubhouse, and we had, I would call it the Dirty Seven. There were seven of us kids that were in a group, sort of a little rat pack. My dad, before he died, he was 87. They had a rat pack out there in California, and they had six Greeks and one Italian. They had a great big limousine Cadillac, and they'd all ride around in that. And they were a little rat pack. They'd go into a Greek cafe here, Italian cafe there, and everything was free for them. They were like kids. They'd make believe they were going to go into business the next day. Here's a nice corner. But anyway, when they gather, they play. They have fun. Wherever there's children, they gather and they play. Let's play I Send. Do they still play that I Send? Put your hand up if anybody knows they play I Send. Oh, I must be old. Do you still play button, button? Who's got the button? Another one, huh? You play that when there's no place to play and you live right downtown and all the traffic is going by and all that's around you is buildings, so you have to hide a button. Then you hide the button, you look all over. Button, button, who's got the... Oh, you're getting warm, getting warm, getting hot. Oh, you're getting cold, 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 cold. No, it's as natural as breathing. And he's pointing to these Pharisees. He says, you're like these children that are crying and bickering and fighting here. Because they can't get along. If your child, if you're listening, doesn't care to play, there's something wrong. He's probably sick. When the child is sick, he doesn't care to play. How many know that's true? You can have the most active child, but when that child is sick, he doesn't want to just sort of droopy. Because a normal child delights to play. For them to play is a source of joy. In fact, this is how children grow physically and mentally and morally. They develop through play. Imagination, adventure, through just living. So I am very thankful for this particular ministry here on the north side, because it's given me experiences that I never would have had to go through, and it's been a lot of joy in it because I've made him through. By the help of God, made it through every day, and it's a joy because I got a warehouse of experiences that I wouldn't have if I was stuck out there in Happy Valley, Happy Mountain. Instead of down here in Oliver Valley. And so it's just a normal, natural thing now for me to come in here and to do this thing. But strange to say, these particular children of which Jesus is speaking, they're not playing. There is some kind of an element there that's stopping them to play. They are glaring at one another. You ever, all of a sudden they're playing outside and all of a sudden they're fighting? What are you kids fighting about? Then they're starting to quarrel. What are you quarreling about? And they're not having a good time? And they are unhappy individually. Each one is unhappy. And they're stamping their feet and they're yelling and shouting. And then, of course, each one is adding his unhappiness to the group. Sort of like group therapy. Well, I got something to gripe about. Bet you my gripe is bigger than your gripe. Oh, shut up. You hear the kids out there yelling, you shut up. No, you shut up. Years ago, we used to use our mother to get in a fight. What'd you say against my mother? Now we always use that. You call my mother a name, boy, you're going to get it. And so then we'd call mothers names. That's how we get it going. Never mention the dads. It's always, but did you call my mother? Ooh. Say something bad about my ma. And we got into quarreling. And so Jesus is pointing at exactly the same kind of group right there. They weren't getting along. Isn't that right? I think there is nothing worse than a group of children, childish people, sitting together crying, "My dad said so." Oh, how joyless they are. And there's so many Christians that have no joy at all. They're too busy arguing over how moral they are and how great they are and who's the greatest and blah, blah, blah. And who's got the greatest set of rules? You're not playing the game right. Here's the rule book. And they forget all about love and they start pressing the rules. We don't have to do that. We don't have to throw the ball to you. We'll just claim the ball to be thrown to you. And they get into the claiming thing. They won't play. They want to be in the ministry of claiming, and they're going to claim the ball will come to them without even throwing it or catching it or anything. They just want to sit and claim things and make believe. So they get into fighting and bickering and yelling and shouting. How are you baptized? When were you saved? Is she still saved? How do you get unsaved? That's how I'd like to really... How do you get unsaved? A person with a tender conscience would get unsaved every time they would think a bad word. Oh, I'm unsaved now. How many are hearing this? How many want to hear it? You want to hear it on the radio? Then lay down your Frito-Lays and your potato chips and your pop and all that. Stop talking. And so knowing how children love to play, we ask, what's the matter? You ask that when your children are, what's going on out here? What seems to be the problem? What's wrong? And of course, it's never your child, is it? I didn't do anything. They started it. Aren't we the same way? Why aren't you playing? Well, one answers, they won't play. And the other one says, no, you won't play either. You won't follow the rules. He hit me. Well, she slapped me. Well, she stuck her tongue out at me and blah, blah, blah. And they're just like what Jesus is saying. This is what you Pharisees are like. Wouldn't that make the Pharisees mad? Whole group of kids out there say, you're just like that. There you go. There you are. We're talking about the God of the universe pointing to the Pharisees who didn't believe he was, saying, that's what you're like. Well, we were going to play school, and I was going to be the teacher, and Jimmy was going to be the principal, and Petey here was going to be the janitor, and the rest were going to be students, but nobody would agree. And everybody wanted to be the teacher. And so, therefore, they are not playing at all in this little group. But rather, they are glaring at one another. Fretful and angry and hateful and unhappy. And that pretty much is what people are right now today, because they just want to be childish. I don't care. I got a right to sing the blues. I got a right to cry the blues. Huh? Well, you're no fun to play with, let me tell you. And Jesus says the Pharisees are like that. And then he reminded them of a prophet of amazing power who was among them, calling men to repentance, talking about John the Baptist. He spoke against sin with deep conviction, and he spared no wrongdoer, rich or poor. And he told men straight out that the axe was at the root of the tree, and every tree that did not bear forth good fruit would be cut down. And he preached so heavy, and he preached so long, he almost emptied out the cities and filled up the wildernesses. And finally, the Bible says he preached at Herod's court, by invitation, by the way. And he preached just as heavy as he'd ever preached. And in the end, the Bible says it cost him his head. Now, if he would have compromised just a little, he could have been eating at the king's table, but instead his head was served on a platter. And also, John's personality was coarse. He lived in the wilderness, the Bible said. He dressed in skins, the Bible says. He wasn't a good handshaker. He wasn't a good social person. He was never a toastmaster. He didn't visit the hospitals. Are you hearing this? And what did the Pharisees say about him? Well, he's so crude, you know. He's so rude. They said the same thing about Paul. He's so hard, they said. They said, we like the gospel full of sweetness and light. We like a preacher with a little bit of humor. We like a good mixer, a mover and a shaker. But then again, no one could get close to John. No. Therefore, they walked away from him and refused to go to church while he was pastor, saying he is possessed of the devil. I think they were full of fear. And then comes another preacher that he says, I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes. Very, very different than John, soft-spoken, God I'm talking about, come to earth. And he called men to repent, but then again, they couldn't repent on their own, but he brought the spirit of repentance. Repentance is of God, and the Lord is the one that repents. And he gives that to you. But he did it in such a way that it was appealing and sweet as perfume of the flowers. Where John had emphasized what must be given up in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, refining the flesh, and that's still a lot of ministries right now, they're getting into refining the flesh. Jesus was saying, not by might, not by power, not by a John-like ministry, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so there again, they started to, people that really wanted to receive the free gift says, well, this is a lot easier to go. It's sort of like that painter that paints that little frog or snail or whatever at the bottom of his picture, right down at the bottom of a very lovely picture, to make a contrast. But Jesus emphasized what was to be gained. He said, I will give you new life. Just repent, and repent means just turn around, take a look at me, and lay down what you have, put it at the foot of the cross, and follow me. Stop holding on to it, and receive a new one. And he also said, you must be born again. And then he said, I claim all these powers to make you, all of you people, new if you simply receive me. And so his message was the offer of new freedom. What a wonderful message it is. New power and new joy. And he said, come through this door. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. And receive that light, and you shall be saved. And he says, I don't care how filthy you are. There is nothing that you ever could have done in your lifetime or will ever think of doing that is yet not common to man. And there's a lot of people out there in perversion that think, well, no one's ever done such a nasty, filthy thing. There is nothing uncommon to man. Nothing that you've done that's uncommon to man. Nothing. Well, maybe you're listening on the radio and you're homosexual. Maybe you even have AIDS. I don't know. Well, Jesus isn't looking at that. He isn't looking at the whore. He's looking at the person, and every soul is very, very important. And that's what we have to come down to. The saving of souls, and stop looking at people's dirty laundry. And we just can't do it. Can we get a little bit close and we start smelling on them and we start getting legal? Don't we? You smell that? Ooh, I mean, there's sin, but this guy really stinks. Are you hearing this? How many are hearing it? Are you on the radio? Are you in your own private Bible study while I'm talking? Don't do it. That's disrespectful to the Word of God. Don't even take notes, because I'll send you this tape. You won't have to take notes. I'll give it to you free of charge. Isn't that the way it is? You smell that? This guy couldn't be saved. Oh, man. It smells like he's got AIDS or something. Smell that? P.U. We can't associate with these people. And Jesus came and he sat with them. He sat with the vilest sinners, and actually the people in the long gowns, underneath all them long gowns and everything, was it's the same pack, same thing, same sinning person. They just covered it up with their long gowns. And their prejudices and their hates and their whatever that we have. A gloss over. You know what? What you see here is what you're going to get. A sinner saved by grace. What? That's what you all are. You listening on the radio, if you can't admit you're a sinner, you won't even make it to heaven, because the only ones that make it to heaven are sinners. The only ones that make it to heaven are sinners saved by grace. And so you can learn, but never come to know Jesus Christ. You can be the smartest, the most apt at quoting scriptures over other people, but it doesn't mean a thing if you don't know Jesus and know him in his suffering, and you don't have any kind of power over people at all. Are you hearing this? His message, in other words, was good news about God and good news about the Son that had been sent. I am the Savior. I am the Son of God. A simple message for childlike, but the childish. There's a difference between childlike and childish. The childish ones could not receive it. That's not the way the game is played. Also, they differed in personality, didn't they? Jesus was a mixer, and Jesus was a man of joy and tears. How many know that God has a sense of humor? What does it say in the Bible? It says in the original Greek, the laughter of the Lord is your strength. The joy, it says. But in the original Greek, it says the laughter of the Lord is your strength. And when it gets too much to contain, you pipe it, you blow a flute, a horn, bang cymbals together, and you jump around and dance and whatever, because the joy is in you. You got life in you. You ever seen a little kid that's full of joy? Ain't they got a lot of life? Huh? And they're kicking away. And can't even get their diaper on. But then again, it's the same way when they're cranky. The legs come out and they're all stiff. Sometimes you even have to look around to see that some of the... Everybody doesn't see you, and pull a shade so you can give your kid a spank on the butt. Now stop it. You might get turned in. Child beater! No, it's another subject, isn't it? But anyway, now can you see there were quite different children in this message? Just like there's quite different people. Childlike and childish. Can you see that? Can you see that he loved crowds? And that he had times for all sorts of people, lepers? Lepers used to have to hang this around their neck, their cart. Leper! Leper coming through! Leper! And that's what some of the legalist church folks want certain ones to do. He had time for whores, and he had time for children. He made house calls, and he was always going out to dinner. He went to some homes where it was an honor to go, and some homes where it was a disgrace. He went to homes where he was made welcome, where there was lots of love, and then again he went into some where he was insulted, and where the air was so tense with suspicion and with hate. But never once does the Bible say he refused an invitation. And it's the same way today. You invite Jesus in and he comes no matter what condition your house is in. He'll come to your house, I'm talking about your body, and sup with you no matter what kind of company or person you are like. You just invite him in and he'll come. He is no, the Bible says, respecter of persons. And what did the Pharisees say about him? We do not like a preacher to make so free with himself. He shouldn't be so common. He sits with sinners and winebibbers and whores. He doesn't have enough dignity. And so if John is not social enough, Jesus is too social. Again, you can't please them. They're in between. There is no pleasing childish people. Stop trying to please childish people. Well, I don't like you because... And then you try to make them like you. Don't try to make them like you. If they're childish, they're just never going to like. They'll find something wrong anyway. What I ever do... The truth is, here that Jesus came to save sinners, and the publicans, the religious leaders of the day, couldn't receive that. Yeah. But anyway, what really was behind their refusal to accept John or Jesus, their refusal was not the fault of God. The Bible says they rejected, they refused the counsel of God for themselves. You read that in verse 30. They refused it. They rejected it for themselves. I mean, that would mean they would have to admit that they were no better than the worst. Well, we're certainly not going to go sit at that table over there. That will be admitting that we think that we're in the same boat they are. We don't want to mix with them. Hey, don't offer us your free gift. We have something for you. What could you possibly show us morally perfect people anyway? And how would that look? I mean, we are the righteous leaders. And see, it was God's purpose that they repent. And they couldn't do it. They couldn't bend. They were stiff-necked, the Bible says. And when anyone does not come under God's grace, it simply means that he has not repented yet. A person that can't come in by the grace message means that they simply have not repented yet, and that's where the legalist is wrong. They can't admit that they are totally without any kind of righteousness. And so they really haven't repented yet. They can't come under the grace message that you are saved because of Jesus Christ and no other reason. They haven't repented yet. Now that is a dangerous message, isn't it? And on the other hand, the legalist will say, we are righteous and you follow what we do, and that's a more dangerous message. And if you watch them real close, they will make everybody that comes into their place feel like they have the grace sickness, and they'll go out of there sick and infected with a message that you can lose your salvation, and they're always trying to stay saved, and usually they're meaner than hell itself, and they are childish, and they're always whining and complaining, and they never want to do anything. They always got an excuse for getting out of some kind of work.
There you have it. That was episode 314, part 1, Children. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a beautiful weekend. God bless you.
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung, and may you stay. Joyful, may your song always be sung, and may you stay.